And of course, our guest tonight, Chad Lewis. We're going to take your phone calls for Chad and also your haunted stories. Are there some regions in this country that have more hauntings than others, Chad?
That's a great question, and I don't know. Certainly, there are more reports coming from some parts of the country, but that could be that people in that part of the country feel more comfortable coming forward and reporting it, or that they just have more people to report it to. That it could be that they just have a lot more investigators there. So I think every part of the country has weird things going on. Sometimes you just have to dig a little deeper in some areas than others.
And you went on a Bigfoot expedition just recently in Canada, right?
Yeah, I was up in Ontario, Canada, searching for the Sasquatch up there. And what's unique about Canada is just how much land they have that's undeveloped. And if there are creatures running around in these pristine areas, Canada is certainly a hot spot for them. And we were able to get a few eyewitness accounts from residents in the area. And unfortunately, we only saw a lot of moose and bear.
Well, you know, there's a hair sample in England that they're analyzing, and it could be they think a Yeti, abominable snowman. That could be fascinating.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Something, finally, some proof that these creatures exist.
Me too. Let's go to some calls. You ready?
I agree.
Let's go to you, Patty. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, Patty.
Well, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Patty, tell me about your story.
Well, the only reason is I happened to be in my car, and I was listening to you guys, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they're talking about Robert, because...
You know Robert?
My mom moved to Key West from the Chicago area about 10 years ago, and even before she moved, we went down and looked at the place. So the ghost tours down there are excellent, and you go on the ghost tours, and they talk about it, but, you know, you don't see Robert, but they tell you where he's at, and I went to the museum, and, I saw him.
There he was. He's just a weird-looking doll, isn't he?
Well, the first year I went, I couldn't look at him. I was really scared. I just couldn't, because you go in there and you ask about it, where's Robert? And they tell you, and they're like, oh, he's been kind of mischievous recently. Because actually, when they first took him into the museum, they had him put away. They didn't have him out.
They put him away? Why?
Well, because they said they had put him there, and then they'd find him out of where they put him in a different place. And that happened over and over. So they had put him, like, in a basement area, because it's like an old fort where he's at.
And locked him up?
Yeah, they locked him up. And then after a few years, you know, people in the ghost tour started down in Key West, and they brought him back out. So then he was behind the glass, and they'd find him in the morning. He'd be in a different position or a different, you know, and this was years and years ago. So, but over the past 10 years, when I've seen him about four times, the first year, I didn't take a picture. The third year, I took a picture. My mom did. I didn't want to. But then after that, he has gotten older.
What do you mean he's gotten older?
His hair has turned gray. And they say he doesn't get in trouble anymore. He doesn't get out anymore. It's just kind of weird, because these are the people, they're older people that work at the museum. They're volunteers, you know, that work there. And they'll tell you the stories, but...
Are you saying he's actually aging?
They think he's dying. But the original story, though, was that the spirit came from the nanny of the boy at the Ottoman house, that it was the nanny that put the curse on the doll.
Huh.
And the curse on the doll. So that was the whole story. But it's really interesting if you go to Key West, because Key West, you know, it's older. It's so interesting.
Would you ever have Robert the doll in your house, Patty?
Mm-mm.
No way.
No, and I would never stay in one of, it's a B&B now where they...
Bed and breakfast.
Right, and the upper, people pay to stay in that upper, it's like a big, you know how the house has a round, you know, the older house. And it's a big thing, and Robert was always up on top. He was locked in the attic.
Yeah, he was in the attic looking out the window.
Right, and that was a big story, but people pay to stay there now.
Gee, but of course he's gone, he's in another museum, right?
Right, he's in the museum now, but, you know, but right next to it, it's a big theater where they said a bunch of kids died and that these kids are looking out. But, you know, they have all kinds of stories.
They should bring Robert back to the original house.
But then they wouldn't make money from the B&B.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe they might make more. But so you actually say, though, his hair is getting gray.
No, that's what the whole story is from down in Key West, because my mom works down there for the city. And actually, you walk in there, and they'll tell you that he's not mischievous anymore. He doesn't get out anymore. And he almost looks sad compared to how he looked.
Interesting. What do you think of this, Chad? Thanks, Patty.
Yeah, I was wondering if Patty's mother had any bad luck after taking that photograph.
Whoop.
And she's right. People have said over the years that not only has his hair began to change, but that his facial expressions have begun to change, and that his overall look, as though he is getting older. And he's well over 100 right now, so how much longer he'll be up to these pranks, we don't know.
Charles in Detroit, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, good morning, George.
How are you?
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. I had two questions and a quick inquiry.
Sure.
One would be it seems to be a lot more reportings of Bigfoot sightings or Yeti sightings along with UFOs. I was wondering what Chad might suspect the relationship between the two might be, because it would seem that maybe there's a, you know, like George has also suspected and mentioned, some form of possible dimension being involved, and maybe the UFOs or the ETs are using the Bigfoots for some physical labor that they can't do themselves or some ability. And I was wondering, you know, possibly the relativity of that, and I also was inquiring about what Chad had mentioned about werewolves over in Transylvania.
Well, great. You're certainly right that a lot of people think that Bigfoot creatures are part of the UFO phenomenon, that might be a reason why nobody's found a carcass yet, or that people seem to go to these areas and these Bigfoot creatures are there one moment and then they're gone. And a lot of people think they migrate throughout the country, but others believe that, yeah, maybe they are connected somehow with this UFO, or as George mentioned, possibly interdimensional even creatures. And a lot of people who have seen them believe that they do have some type of intelligence, at least that if they are a flesh and blood animal, that they're very intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was definitely, you know, curious about that. And also you had mentioned before about not only the vampires, but some werewolf information over in Transylvania, and I was wondering, you know, what information you had come by regarding that.
Yeah, most people think of Transylvania only as being the home of vampires, but over there I got a lot of reports of a creature that can only be described as a werewolf-type creature, that it was a tall, biped creature, that it was dark and covered with this shaggy type of fur. And they believe that these creatures may even be shapeshifters, that they might not appear as a wolf the whole time, that much like the legend of werewolves, that they change into these wolves. But they believed in these creatures over there, and that's something that we have here in the U.S. More and more when I'm doing presentations, people will come up to me and report these werewolf-type creatures, and they're convinced, they're absolutely convinced that they're not a Bigfoot-type creature, that there's something new. And a friend, a colleague of mine, Linda Godfrey, has been investigating these creatures not only in Wisconsin, but all over the U.S.
Do you have a favorite haunted spot yourself, Chad?
I do, and it's in my home state of Wisconsin, and it's up in a small northern Wisconsin town, and it took place in 1934, and many of your listeners probably haven't heard of it, but in about a half a year they will, because this was the place that John Dillinger had a shootout with the federal authorities back in 34 when he got away with Babyface Nelson and Three Finger Jack. But many people believe his ghost is still haunting this place called Little Bohemia. And I mentioned that your listeners will probably know of it because the new movie starring Johnny Depp, Public Enemies, is about Dillinger and his shootout at Little Bohemia. But, of course, that's one of my favorite cases, because not only do you have a ghost and a haunting, but you have some history attached with it as well, as they still have a lot of the personal artifacts of Dillinger, the Tommy guns, his ties, because they had to leave in such a hurry.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line, Pat in Santa Fe. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Good. Good morning. How are y'all?
Good, thanks.
I have quite a few things. I know I can only do a couple.
Do a couple. Maybe. Go ahead. Give us your best shot.
Well, when I was 9 years old, my dad was a prison guard, and we lived in the prison village. And one night, it was in July, real hot, and I was up in the window, couldn't make any noise, and I was just sitting there. And I heard a noise, and it sounded like a kid slapping his feet on the pavement. And it came down the alley, and I thought it was a dog. And I thought, well, I'll see that dog when he comes by. And it came right past my window. I couldn't have been more than a foot and a half from it. It came up. It opened the screen door. It opened the wooden door. It closed the screen door. It went right past my window, right back out like it came, and there was nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. And many things like that happened to me. Then we went to Gettysburg, and we took quite a few pictures. And I would like to send you some of the pictures, but I'd have to send them to you through the mail.
Well, make sure you make copies in for yourself, okay?
Oh, yes. I'll make you some copies.
Do you need our address?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, and Tom will take care of you. Always great stories, Chad, aren't there?
Yeah, they are, and the wide variety of them. Here's something going out in front of her room there, and the window coming through the alley. And these are stories most skeptics say, well, of course people are telling stories. They've been watching The X-Files and Unsolved Mysteries. But these are stories that are beyond that and are just fascinating. And I think there's a lot more, even in the paranormal field, than we realize. And as you know, doing the show, that you're getting a lot of these stories that a lot of us researchers have never heard before.
I love the fact that Robert's grain, he's getting old.
Yes, calming down, hopefully.
Steve, in your homestead of Wisconsin, you're on with us. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you tonight, gentlemen. I actually had a chance to see Chad in Eau Claire when he came around through one of his Halloween tours, and that was quite a treat.
Excellent. That's you, Chad.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Oh, thank you. I had a little twofer here really quick.
Right.
I drive papers around throughout Wisconsin, and one of the places I stop is Fairchild, and it goes along Highway 10, and man, that street gives me the willies. I was curious if you knew anything about that.
Yeah, you mentioned Fairchild, which is a small town not too far from where my hometown is. And it's funny you mention Highway 10, because a couple years ago they had a flap of UFO activity over there, and starting with a gentleman and his family who were chasing this ball of light down the road, until his family told the driver that maybe it wasn't such a good idea when it stopped in the middle of the road, this ball of light. So the guy spun around, and the interesting part is he gunned his car, put the pedal to the floor, and it would not move. It was like a force was drawing them back, and slowly he picked up speed, and he got away. Well, as with most cases, the media picked up on our report, and dozens of other people came forward with their report. So a lot of times when you experience something out there, Steve, you're not alone.
Well, I was hoping you'd make me feel better, but I guess this is okay too.
What did you experience there?
Well, I don't know. Just driving down that street gives me a really uneasy feeling in the old gutty watts. So just, I don't know, something about it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to ask was this doll at the museum.
Yeah, Robert.
Yeah, what is the other stuff that they have at this particular museum?
Well, the museum's a history, the 40th Martello Museum and Gardens, a history of the Key West area. And then also they have a wonderful folk art museum as well. And you probably think of folk art as being roadside attraction type stuff, people making stuff out of metal, sculpture, junk. They have great artists that are putting their stuff there. And it's an old fort, so you can just walk around the old halls of this place. And if you listen carefully, you can almost feel when this place was active. And it's a beautiful place, even if Robert wasn't there.
Okay, very good. First time caller line, Matt in Minnesota. Hey, Matt, go ahead.
Hey, George. You're beautiful. I love your show. Okay. Hello to Chad as well.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from Fergus Falls, Minnesota, as a first-time caller because I have a question for Chad tonight.
Sure.
Chad, I know you have stated in the past that you haven't had an experience in the past 14-plus years.
Right.
Paranormal investigating. Has it been about 14 years? Or?
Yeah, that's about right, and it's still no personal experience.
Okay. Yeah, this is a really fascinating thing, considering you're literally trying to your hardest by going to virtually the most haunted locations in the area. You know, it makes me wonder if you haven't had anything close to a paranormal experience and what you define as an experience overall.
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. We've had weird things. We've captured weird things on film, the mist, the fog, weird things on audio, but nothing that's just overwhelmingly paranormal. Now, what's interesting is many times we'll bring psychics and intuitives with us, and they won't get out of the car because they sense a place and they don't want to be there. But I think you hit the nail on the head that it's very discouraging doing all these investigations at literally the most paranormal places in the world and never having an experience when other people are just going about their day-to-day activity and having an experience. And over the years, we've even tried to trick some of the phenomena by pretending we're part of the family and just setting up the equipment and then going about the daily activities the family goes about to see if this would make a difference as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to almost not call yourself a skeptic when you say being the lack of evidence you've run upon her.
Well, I think a lot of people believe that because for a lot of people, seeing is believing. But what I think my research is starting to show that for some people, believing is seeing, meaning that if they're more likely to believe in a haunting or a UFO, that they're more likely to see this or to experience it, even though my own personal experience would be show that might not be a complete theory, but that's one of the things that if people believe that a place is haunted, they're more likely to have an experience there. But I certainly believe that these people are having these things happen. I don't believe that it's mass hallucination, that they're suffering from a psychiatric disease. I don't think they're hoaxing people. I think something's happening, but I don't know what that is, and that's what I'm trying to find out.
How do you get your book, Road Guide to Haunted Locations?
Well, we always say that you can pick it up at your favorite bookseller. You can get it online on our website. And I hope people pick it up and take it as a road guide. That's what it's meant for. Don't take my word for these cases, Matt. Go out there and try it for yourself. So if don't take my word that Robert will curse you if you take his picture. Go down there and challenge him for yourself. And I think that's one of the main ingredients of the road guides is that we leave it up to the reader. We give you all the information, including directions, photos, history, background, but it's up to you to visit these places and decide for yourself.
And can you guarantee that no one will be scared to death?
Yes. Yeah, money-back guarantee. Your family can send in for a money-back guarantee if you do die on any of these cases.
All right. Stay with us. Chad Lewis, our special guest tonight. We'll be back in a moment. Fast night. We'll take final phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, electronic countermeasures expert Roger Tulsas joins us as we talk about surveillance, electronic surveillance, and special DNA sequencing used to develop new mind control techniques. Should be a fascinating Coast to Coast show. Tell me about the gnomes and the little people investigations.
Yeah, those are the fun ones. And I spent a couple weeks over in Ireland looking for these gnomes and little people. And what's interesting is just to give you an idea of the culture over there, you walk into a pub and ask where the gnomes have been sighting, and they look at you and they say, which ones? And I give your listeners a challenge to walk into any pub in their neighborhood and ask where the gnomes or goblins have been sighting and see what kind of reaction they get. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And, again, these people over there, they believed in these creatures where they would go out of their way to make sure that they didn't take a tree down if it was thought to be a fairy tree or a gnome tree. But there are a lot of places here in the U.S. that have these gnomes sighted where you don't need to travel overseas. A lot of these places are in people's own backyards.
Indeed. Okay, back to the phones we go. Taylor in Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, I just had to ask Chad a question.
Sure.
Have you been at Fond du Lac, the haunted house in Fond du Lac at all?
Yes, the Octagon House?
No, there's actually another one. It's on County K.
I have not been there. What happens there?
It was rumored that a man went crazy in the 80s and killed his family, and then he hung himself in a shed by the road, and if you park your car there, you can actually hear screaming from in the house.
Mm, have you tried it?
Yeah, it actually does happen, and we also took a picture in the front of the house, and you can see a girl standing in a white dress looking out.
Hmm. What type of camera? Was it a digital or just regular 35 millimeter?
It was actually, I have a HD video camera that takes pictures, too.
Okay. God, you got to get us some of those pictures, Taylor.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. To do that, too, yeah.
Okay, great. I love that. There are so many haunted places, Chad. I bet you haven't even been able to catalog one-tenth of them.
No, you could do this 24 hours a day for the rest of your life and never even come close to cataloging any of the amount that's out there.
I love the hitchhiker story where somebody picks up a hitchhiker and, you know, she looks troubled, and so they care about her, and then she says, "Let me go. I got to get out right now." And they let her go, and she goes in through a cemetery, and she's gone.
I love those. And I think the question, George, let me pose this to you. If you see a young woman on the side of the road in the middle of the night when you're driving down this rural lane, do you pick her up?
Well, you know, years ago when I was younger, I probably would. Nowadays, you know, the good part of me would, the smart part of me would say call the cops,
right,
and make sure she's okay and just stay out there, because man, you just never know anymore, Chad. You don't know if there's, you know, a couple thugs with guns hiding in bushes. You just don't know. But, yeah, you know, I think the first thing I would do is call the cops and then kind of like trail around to make sure she's okay and get them on the scene and then take off.
Don't you think
that's a smart thing to do?
Yeah, I agree completely, and I think most people would do what you're explaining. So I wonder if in 10 years we'll even have vanishing hitchhiker stories. And nobody would stop for them anymore.
Well, especially if they're floating.
If they're transparent, keep going.
Yeah, San Diego, we go. Hey, Chuck, take it away.
Thanks, George and Chad. In 1975, around August, about 9 p.m., 9:30, a couple of buddies and I were on Preston Road making a left onto Mockingbird Lane when I looked to my right and I saw a man in a small white car with a turban on. And as he turned on to look at me, I thought what I saw was the devil, and I was frozen in fear like a frog, you know, with a spotlight on him. 10 years later, Art, when I told this story on Art, about 1996, Art Bell told a story in Dallas, Texas, about a couple of sisters that were on Oak Lawn Drive, which Preston Lane turns into Oak Lawn. And one of them, he said that one of the sisters had been possessed, they both seen the devil, and one of them had been possessed by the devil and had scratched the other sister's eyes out, and that the sister did not press charges because she saw the devil do that. And I'm wondering if you may have ever heard of any other stories regarding the devil being spotted on Preston Road in Dallas, Texas.
Well, I certainly haven't heard any specific on that road. Now, the devil's been reported all over, even back in the old days when they'd have dances and these women would start dancing with a man and they thought it was great. Then they'd look down and he'd have hooves and a
oh, yeah,
tail.
That's a great story. Great story.
But I haven't. Have you heard those stories, George?
I've heard a few of those. I've heard the cloven hoof story. I've related to Lionel Fanthrope, one of our guests. That's a great story. One of the best. Next up, let's go to first-time caller line. Tony, you are on the air with us, Minnesota. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. This is the first time I actually saw you guys, listened to you guys' radio. It was referred to from you guys to another friend.
Well, now you've got to make it a regular thing, Tony.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I got to call more often because I got a lot of stories for you guys, but
right,
I'll just tell you one tonight.
Sure.
I was, this was back when I was 8 years old, I was in Hidden Valley. I lived in Hidden Valley at the time. And I have this walk-in closet that is right on the side of me. So I was laying on my side, and I was staring right into the black closet. I have clothes hanging up there and everything. And I looked there. I don't know if my eyes were playing tricks on me or what, but when I looked into there, I saw blue. And, you know, I saw it was kind of like a figure that was in there. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, he or she moved her hands up. And right when I saw that, like moving their hands up, like to greet me or to tell me to give her a hug, him or her a hug. And right then I turned my back to it because I was scared. I was only 8 years old, so... It was dressed like the Virgin Mary, and I kind of thought that was a very, by that time, I was just scared. I just wanted to sleep.
Well, that's one thing you haven't brought up tonight, Chad, those kinds of sightings like Tony has had. Thanks, Tony. Let's get your response, Chad.
Yeah, it's interesting because... people's religiosity, how religious they are, how spiritual they are, often affects what they see. And what I mean by that is I'll get a case where somebody sees something in their room and they believe that it's a ghost or a past relative that has just moved on, that's no longer living, whereas someone who's very religious may see this and believe it's a demon or that it's an angel coming to visit them and protect them. So I think people may be seeing these same things, but their perception is a little bit different from person to person. And we know this happens when we have multiple witnesses who are all in the same car or all in the same area, and they all report seeing something a little bit different. So I wonder if Tony's experience was if somebody else had seen that at 8 years old, would not have thought it was a Virgin Mary.
Absolutely. Next up, Freddie in Illinois, east of the Rockies. Hey,
hello,
Freddie.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Congratulations on the guest, but I got a story to tell you. When I was a little boy, this was like two country roads that crossed one another, and
okay.
That's where my grandmother and all my relatives.
And whereabouts did this happen?
This happened south in Grundy County, in a county of Grundy.
In Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But anyway, this man was very eccentric, and he worked in the bank there locally. And he would come from their home every night about the same time, about 10 to 5, and he'd drive down this country road. Anyway, on this one night, he saw this little girl standing there in the kind of the early spring rain, you know. And she's standing there in a white frilly dress with a kind of pink ribbon and a cloth in her collar, and she had on them patent leather shoes and that. So he stopped, and he says, jump in. He says, and I'll give you a ride where you live. Where do you live? And she said, I live right down the road. Well, when they got down there, she pointed, and she said, when she was sitting on the seat, you know, in the car.
Yeah.
And she was, she says, here's where I live. So he pulled up and stopped, and she got out of the car. And he was watching her in the rearview mirror. She went across the road into the wooden gate, and he just went right on home. So he was a very eccentric man. And anyway, two or three weeks later, he saw the lady and man. They were coming down her front steps. He said he thought he'd stop and tell them. And they says, no, they said, that wasn't our little girl. Our girl died when she was 9 years old.
Oh, my.
And,
Huh? That's something.
That's not, I never went down that, I wouldn't go down that country road very far after that when I was a little boy. Well, you know how you play out in the country.
I don't blame you.
And, it was kind of a spring night, you know, out in the country when they have this white gravel type stuff on the road to show how it's real bright. And there she was standing there. No, that couldn't have been our little girl. She died when she was 9 years old. But anyway, thanks for letting me tell you the story. And
well, thank you,
good,
Freddie.
Good guess, George.
Yep, I like it. I like the haunted stuff. I do. What do you do next, Chad? What's up on your agenda?
Well, looking at some more phenomenon, some more ghosts, some more UFO, and I love hearing from the Midwest tonight. It's been great hearing people all in the Midwest. But continue on collecting these stories and trying to document them and trying to encourage people to go out and do it on their own, have their own adventure, and they'll discover that maybe their state's a little weirder than they thought, and maybe they're a little weirder as well.
Next up, Keith in Alaska, you're up with us. Hi, Keith.
Hello. Shalom, George.
Thanks.
And shalom, guest Chad Lewis. It's quite an honor to be speaking with you.
Well, thanks for the call.
I have a question. I am looking at an image I downloaded from the AM Coast to Coast website. It's circle 061108. It is a complete circle. It looks like it spirals.
Right.
Are you aware of this?
Yes.
Okay. Do you notice how perfect that this appears?
Extremely.
Yes. Could these circles be a sign of the end times also?
Gosh, I don't know. Chad, I don't think so. What do you think?
I don't know. I've never heard that before. I guess it's a possibility. Any thoughts on it, George?
Well, like I just said, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I believe you're spiritual, Chad. Am I correct?
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
Quite knowledgeable of the gospel?
No.
No, I don't think he's that spiritual.
No. It's interesting because my research partner is an expert in spirituality and death and dying and religion. So I always defer questions of the gospel to him.
Oh, okay. Okay, I believe.
Why do you think the end times are near?
Why do I think the end times are near?
Yeah.
Because as I'm pressing into the gospel, there's more and more tribulation coming to my life, and I'm also noticing that things are getting worse and worse, and that there's many signs, the earthquakes, the volcanoes. These crop circles may be a sign from either our Creator or others, you know?
Well, you see, and I think it might be the others. The others. Do you believe in demonic forces, Chad Lewis?
I do. I think that people experience them. Whether or not they're real, I don't know. But, yeah, I think if this many people believe in good forces, that it would only make sense that there are evil forces. And we've encountered a lot of people who believe they've encountered demons and that they're plagued by these creatures. We had a case where a guy was complaining that every night a demon would chew on his leg, a psychic demon in a way. And as soon as he got back to his belief, it seemed to have gone away a bit.
Carolyn in Michigan, you're up with us. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, I've got a question.
Sure.
Have you ever heard of the house in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, about the van, the white van that doesn't have a battery in it?
No, tell me the story, please.
Well, my son, who's a 30-year-old officer now, he's about 18, give or take a year, he, and it's quite a known thing for everyone that lives around there, and he heard the story about this white van in the house, and if you go up there after dusk, it looks like the lights are on, and what had happened was a man murdered his entire family and then committed suicide. So they told him the story about if you go up, and I've been up there, I've seen it, the van goes up a kind of a winding dirt road, and there's trees on the side, and you go up there after dusk, and the van chases you. So my son was laughing it off and saying he didn't believe it. So his friend, you know, is saying, yeah, it's true. Everybody knows it, even the police. So he and his friend and the friend's brother went up there after dusk, and my son came home white as a ghost. He said, Mom, he said, all of a sudden there was headlights, and he said, I couldn't drive backwards fast enough. And I just wondered if you had heard about that.
I haven't heard that specific story, but it's very popular in terms of similarity to other stories around the U.S., and I think it's great that a lot of these cases, yeah, many of the people in the community know about these cases. that you talk to some seniors who have been in town for a long time, and they're just a treasure trove of information of these legends and lore of your own community.
What are your recommendations, Chad, for people who want to know more about haunted or legends or strange things in the region they live in, maybe the state? Where do they go? Internet? What's the source?
Yeah, certainly a Coast to Coast website. But, yeah, the Internet's really good. But I even think go local, more local than that. Go into your local historical society. Go into some of the old archives of the local paper. And, again, talk to some seniors who have lived there. They know the lores and legends because they grew up in the town. So these things are available, but online you're going to get a lot more of the legends and the lore. But if you really want some of the real stories, I recommend going to the local libraries, the historical societies, and I think you'll come up with a lot of great information.
Well, people love this, Chad, don't they?
They do. Again, as I mentioned earlier, that it's almost entertainment now. They want to do this. They want the excitement. They want to experience these things for themselves.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, good luck on your travels, my friend. And, gosh, we only scratched the surface of some of the things that you've looked into.
Yeah, it's been a fun night, and keep an eye out.
What's your very favorite scary legend in 20 seconds?
20 seconds, a portal to hell in Wisconsin at a place called Hotel Hell. So if any of your listeners go there, do not look into the old well.
The portal to down below. Thanks, Chad. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and pundit Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.